feel like he lived his life in a way very similar to Jesus, mm-hmm. Not being for self. Mm-hmm. That was the underlying mm-hmm. thing. Because I think if you wanted to simplify and boil down Jesus to mm-hmm. one thing, it's just like Jesus is love, which means myself is no bigger than yourself, and mm-hmm. we're all kind of just the same thing. We're mm-hmm. all in it together.
Yeah.
And so Bob Marley was very much that.
They were making like a Broadway mm-hmm. type of show, and it's show something. I can't remember what it's called, but there's a song in there that's called "They Just Keep Moving the Line."
Is that the parents?
Yeah, like she's talking about. She's an actress. She's like a Broadway actress, and she's singing about. They're doing a play on Marilyn Monroe. And she's talking about how they just keep moving the line as far as what you have to do to, like, be successful. But it just reminds, you know, it applies to lots of things.
They just keep moving it. That's heavy, because, yes, to all that, on all levels, they just keep moving the damn line.
They just keep moving the line. What's up, everybody?
What's up, what's up? It's your girl, Triple F Queen Bola here.
No tagline wit.
And we've got a special guest star.
Yes, tell us who you are.
Hello, my name's Asia.
Hi, Asia.
What's up, Asia? I don't have a catchy intro. I feel so unprepared.
You know what? It took us forever to come up with this.
It was so smooth, too.
It's just the practice. This is episode 87, so we've been doing it for a while. I tell you, the first whole season... We had no nicknames. In fact, hers is no tagline wit because she couldn't come up with something. I was like, Whitney, come up with something interesting. No tagline? No. Okay, that stuck.
But it's true to her, okay?
That's right.
I love that.
We are happy to have you today, Asia. Yes. Asia's like an awesome, cool girl. We love her.
Happy to be here. Love you guys, too.
Yes. Anyway, this is Blurred Talk with Bola and Whitney. Now, Asia, would you call yourself a blurred?
Yeah, I do. I feel that I don't always present as a blurred.
That's okay, though. That's okay.
You got the cool girl vibes.
Right, but I don't feel that because in my brain, it's very very much blurred. I grew up in the hood, so it's a hood blurred.
No, we need a word for that.
That's what it is.
I got you.
But you could be a hood blurred. You could be a bougie blurred, too.
Yeah.
It's a whole spectrum of blurred.
Yes. I love that. I love, like I was telling you, I'm going to an event about thinking. So I love all kind of just... talk about for the sake of figuring stuff out.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Now.
See, that's a blur.
I am a blur. I'm not super into like anime and things mm-hmm. like that, mm-hmm. but I'm very much like a nerd.
Yeah. See, there's so many types because definitely not all blurs or even nerds. Not all nerds are into anime. Not all nerds are into superheroes or comic books. It's mm-hmm. like you find like where you fit.
So what is it then? Nerds. What is the essence of the blurred?
That's a very
Anyone
good question.
Anyone can be a blurred. Like, if you just, like, you could
be No, you gotta be black.
You gotta be black.
Because that's the whole thing.
But I mean, like, let's go to one of the base parts of blurred, black nerd. So anyone can be a nerd.
A black nerd.
Mm-hmm. Anyone can be a nerd about something, but it's about whether they really consider themselves to be or not. So, like, you can be a blurred about, like, writing or English or grammar or, like, think pieces, like intellectual
just
thinking.
Things, just
intellectual pursuits.
Thinking.
If you're like you're a fan of something, it could be you have a fandom of some type. Mm-hmm. I would definitely say a fandom of some type. Now, it doesn't have to be the traditional animes or anything, but if you're like you game or you're like into certain books or something like that, then I would definitely be like, I'm a romance novel nerd.
Mm-hmm. Or I've been a blurred since I was a wee thing.
Yeah. So you're not afraid to express deep interest.
Right. Yeah. And you speak to your eloquence
I
and
like
interest.
That.
And
so that kind of like really pulls
It's very succinct. I like what you just said.
That's my thing. I take a bunch of stuff and then just... I'm a process concise improvement.
See, I need you to be my AI editor.
Me too. Because I be verbose.
The word vomit that comes out of my head. And like,
oh, no, but then I word vomit too. I need someone to do it for me too.
I'm only good at doing it for other people. Like, yeah. I can only like edit other people.
Yeah, it's hard to edit.
I'll be re everything. And I'm just like, I shouldn't have wrote that. Or I can't. I need somebody to read this.
I'll tell somebody something. I'll be like, blah, 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 blah. Does that make sense? And it's like, it's not a, is it hard to understand? It's, did I make that understandable? Because I know that I can tangent all over the place. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, there's times where I'll be in a conversation, probably had it on the podcast as well, where I'll be talking and I'll stop mid-sentence and be like,
all the time.
What were we talking about?
Uh-huh. All the time. And then you have to like go back and bring it back and like get out of the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
You know?
Deep down rabbit holes. Mm-hmm. Or if someone asks you a question and then you get off topic and then you forget what the question was. You're like,
that's
so
happened to me.
What were we talking about?
Yes. You know how you just like, you keep going and then you just, wait a minute, did I answer the question?
That reminds me of this episode of Family Guy and Peter was talking and then
I haven't
Brian
heard that
was like,
in a long time. Because she used to say this all the time when we were in college. That episode of Family Guy.
Because it's got so many funny references. But like Peter was talking and then like he said something off the wall and Brian was like, do you even listen to yourself talk? And Peter was like, I drifted it out.
I drifted it out.
Oh my gosh. Oh Lord. I listen to the internal talk, but outwardly I'm just like, you're right. You could drift in. You're just like, what am I even saying? I'm just going to stop now.
Oh, sorry, everybody. By the way, this episode is on Bar Marley.
We're still in Black History Month. We're still in the month of love. I know Valentine's Day has passed.
And we decided to be bliggity black this month.
Bliggity black this month. This month, this is where you turn the blackity black up all the time.
You turn it on blickity.
Right. Ooh, blickity. I like that. Get it, Angel, behind five you. Like, you can't see it, but I high five
you. Do y'all remember when it was like bliggity bliggity?
Scat, scat, scat. That was my show. Oh,
I know,
God.
That show was hilarious.
I was mad at ending.
No.
You got to check it out. It's hilarious.
Oh, man. Okay, so there's some sketches are not that great. It's Black Lady Sketch Show.
Yeah.
I've seen Black Robin Lady Sketch Show.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe
this scene
that y'all talking about, I haven't seen it.
Okay.
It's one of the ones, it's the lady gangsters.
Uh-huh. It was where they were the gangsters and they were like wearing pink.
Yeah.
And they were their thing was like blippity blippity. And then everybody was like, scat, scat, scat. And you're just like, oh, God. It was ridiculous. Quinta used to be on it when she was on the first season. Mm-hmm. And then she, you know, became better.
What? She didn't become better.
She became too famous for the rest of them.
And it blew up. And we are very proud of her.
Yes, I'm very much blurting out about Abbott Elementary.
I love Abbott Elementary.
It is so hilarious. Like, every single episode.
Oh, my gosh. They surprised. So I was, every time I'm like, my family, I'm like, y'all don't watch it without me. I don't care. If I'm not home yet from driving from work, no, don't watch it without me. We're gonna watch it together.
Do they actually listen to you?
Yeah, they do.
Because my mom cheated on me once on The Last Kingdom. We was watching it together. Next thing I know, she'd gone through two seasons.
Oh, she really cheated on you.
She did.
She was like, I'm moving on.
Well, she's like, it got good.
She
I'm like,
things to do.
So you guys, it's Black History Month and I guess the month of love. And I think it was perfect that this movie came out on Valentine's Day in this month.
Yeah.
Even though people were saying, like, with the critics and stuff, they're like, oh, this month is not the month to put out movies. I'm like, I don't care. This movie is, by the way, Bob Marley's One Love. It was, like, number one. It beat out Madame Web, which it was, like, very much highly anticipated. Mm-hmm. It blew everybody away. It's already made back more than it was, more than the money spent on
that.
Okay. Yeah, I had to post about it because Lashana Lynch, who plays Rita,
I love her.
She posted about it, so I had to share.
Can I just say Lashana Lynch is my celebrity crush?
Oh my gosh,
I
don't blame
her,
you.
Right?
And Lashana Lynch, if you happen to hear my voice right now, girl, you so fine.
And I love her British
and
accent.
Plus
too.
One that Lashana Lynch is awesome. She has been, and she's kind of like, I don't know, it seems like she's kind of blowing up.
She is.
She is, rightfully so. Yeah. I think she puts a lot of intention into her roles. Mm-hmm. She goes deep into it, and The way she just emotes different, you know, in small, nuanced ways, different characters and embodies them. Yeah. Exactly. It was great. I first was introduced to her in Woman King.
Ooh.
That's why I fell in love with you, Lashana, yes. If you listen. I fell in love with you. I was like, yes, I do everything Izoki. Yes. I was like, yes.
She was fire in that film.
She was. And so there's a lot of power behind that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of power behind her role in One Love as Rita Marley.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But there was also more restraint to that.
Right, right.
It wasn't as raw and unbridled as it was in Woman King. And so I haven't seen any of the superhero movies she was in.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen much else. But I'm excited to see what else she does.
Right, right, right.
Because I love you, girl.
I first saw her in...
She's great. I remember that was the one point in the movie where I was just like, just wanted to be like, bitches, would they kill her? I was like, bitches.
I cried.
I did too.
I cried real tears.
I was upset. I saw her. You talking about Woman King, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. By the way, I just want to say that the critics in Hollywood and stuff totally slept on that film. It should have got some more awards. It should have got awards, but it doesn't matter.
It was too fire.
It was. And it was black women doing their thing, and they couldn't take it as usual.
It was too much women, too much black, too much Africa. Yeah,
they're like, oh,
not enough slaves.
You can have some.
Only Black Panther can do it? I don't understand.
There's like, you can have either black or you can have women. You can't have black
you
and
can't
women.
Have both. We're not ready for that right now.
And that's why I was like, I don't give a... What the critics say, that movie was fire. Everybody watched it.
Yes.
I don't care. Yes. That's why we last year, for the year it came out, we actually put it above Black Panther 2, even though we loved Black Panther 2. It was our number one film for that. Remember
I think
we did
it was
like
actually
a countdown?
For 2022.
That's why I said the year it came out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because
it was our number one, because it's just...
It's fire. It's anyway, before we get into...
Let's
do our main segment.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so before we get into the review, we always have a chance to do what? Blurt out!
Yeah. Oh, that's a different...
I know. All right,
I like the vibrato, too, in the end a little bit, too.
So I gotta try just some music. Okay, so let me do what I usually do. Blurt out. Blurt out. Blurt out. Blurt out. Blurt out. This blurt out is brought to you by the letter B, because we what?
Blickety
black, y'all. Blickety black.
Blickety blickety. Scat, scat, scat.
So we usually let... Okay.
I wish there was video.
HBO, I really hope y'all don't come for us. Because we don't
have... I highly doubt they trade. Well, maybe they did trade.
Robin Thede is cool. So I'm like, I love her. She'll be awesome, fine. Anyway, so Asia, we're going to start with you because you're our guest.
Okay,
we are guests.
Okay.
We're going to ask you what you're blurting out about. And when we say blurt out, it just means you're nerding out about something, whether it's...
To the test.
Are you saying?
Tie a napkin around
I told you.
Your
Didn't I tell you?
And we provide the rest.
Is that from Beauty and the Beast?
Yes,
right?
It
okay,
is.
Okay.
Yes, it is. Anyway, blurting out is just about whatever you like are doing, something you experience, something you like.
Something you're excited about.
Something you're excited about.
Or
and
something
if you don't
that
have
you
one,
hate it, but you they have such passion behind it.
Right. If you don't have one, that's fine. You can kick it back to us, but we're going to let you go first.
Well, honestly, I'm Beast. Super transparent because I don't have time to make anything up and that's too hard anyway. I've really been just blurting out on myself recently.
Okay. Hey, talk about yourself.
I really just been I feel like I've been marinating and I've always been the product, but now it's like a little more seasoning, a little more flavor to it.
Okay.
And so I've just been really
You ready to go on
being
the grill,
being a better
girl?
Person. I don't know.
Being like, your best self, right?
Literally that. Okay. It takes a lot of effort. I always say, I don't know what I would do if I had, like, kids. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know how I would find the time in the day to really pour into how I am able to pour into myself now.
Girl, you've hit and touched a nerve. Yeah. Even with me, I'm always like, I thought I always wanted children. And then now I'm like... I'm so grateful I don't have any kids. Yeah. And then I'm like, well, I messed them up. Oh, my God. You know, it's very nerve-wracking, the times we live in as well. Mm. So I don't ever, like, I'll mess with somebody.
People are real serious about you having children. They like, why you don't got no kids? Why you don't got no partner?
Hey, that's another, we could talk a whole segment on the pressure to
have children.
Are you going to have kids?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I guess it goes away after, like, you reach an age where they know you can't procreate. Maybe they stop asking.
Which is no, like,
me. But up until then,
my brother took one for the team. He and my sister-in-law, Tiff, thank y'all. Because once my nephews came, The pressure was off. Mom stopped asking. Right. I was like,
I feel for the moms looking out, that have one kid, though. The moms that only have one kid, and then that kid chooses not to have any kids, and it's just like their dreams are dashed for grandkids.
Yeah.
I have a friend like that where she's like, well, it's not that she don't want kids. It's just that it's not happening, and then she put like an age timeline for her because she hasn't met the right person. Mm-hmm. And she's like the only one of her mom. She's the only one for her mom, and she's just like, I want grandkids. You're 30, something. I need grandkids. And she's
well,
just
she
like, should have
had a spare. You know how the British do an heir and a spare.
That's what I said to her. Look, I'm an only child. My parents are still together, so they only got me. We all we got. And
that's
I have always told them they should have had a couple more because their birthdays are 2 days apart.
Yeah,
two presents every year at the same time. Okay, then anniversary. Y'all both want an anniversary present. Y'all supposed to share, aren't you? One?
I know, right?
And then we celebrate you becoming one. So for all this,
that's like those people who have birthdays like in December, like in Christmas time or January. Yes. And I'm like, I just bought you a bunch of presents for Christmas. I ain't giving you another gift. And
they're like, come on, man. Come on, man. So, you know, maybe in Mother's Day, Father's Day, I'm thankful to have a mother and a father, but you should have had a little more.
Right.
So I got some siblings to go in.
Y'all could have done some test tube babies. Like, y'all could have done.
But you know what? Rougher than what it was. So that's probably great that we only had me. But you made a good point, Bola, because there's a lot of pressure on that one child. Okay, what you want to do? And I would love to be a mom, but I'm also open to if, you know, that doesn't happen for me. But my parents, I know they want. They want.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
They try not to put the pressure on me, but they still put the pressure on me anyway.
Right.
They think they're not.
They are. That's why I mess with people who have kids and be like, or people that I know that got married. So when the kid, I just do it as a joke, but I literally, I'm like, I will tell them, hey, no pressure. I'm not. I was like, your time is the right time. Because I don't. Because in my family, in a Nigerian family, it's as soon as you're married, that's like the next thing. Where's the baby? I have my cousin that just got married earlier last year around May. And somebody else who just had kids, she was asking, oh, you went to see her? I was like, yeah. She's like, where's the baby? I was like, she ain't trying to have them right now. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, what's she waiting for? She's I was like, she just got married.
They
got
to be ready, because otherwise you don't want to do that to a child.
She's like, what are you waiting for? And I was like,
who is wanting to slow it down? At the time they come. And you want a parent to be ready. I'm like, I would not want to. It's probably at this point not going to happen for me because I'm just not that. It's not a thing for me. I wouldn't say no, but it's not like a thing for me. Mm-hmm. But it's like I would not want to have a kid of my own if I could not try to get to do as good of a job as I feel like my parents did. Like I felt so loved. Like the world can't do anything to me. I got so much love, and it's enough to last me the rest of my life.
But then it would make you an awesome parent because you know what to do. But for those who don't,
because my parents were awesome, I wouldn't want to give a child anything less than that.
You know where the standard is.
Yes.
You don't know if you can reach what they did.
Yeah, like I'm happy with my single independent life. Mm. So if I can't be enough of a nurturer and a person who's going to like split that and do all of that to give that to a child, I don't want to do that to a child. Yeah. Like
I get that's not
a good thing to do.
Yeah. I get that. If only some people thought about that before they were just like,
it seems like
let's get it on, Tyrone.
It seems like the people who think the absolute least about that have the most
success, and then the ones who want children so bad, and they are prepared, they're ready
to see,
and then
a
you
couple
don't
that
see them.
Really wants to have a child, and they really, you know, are struggling with it.
That's really
all right, Asia. But Asia is we did go on a long time.
You really going into
doing,
like
I
the
love
intellectual.
That.
See, I told you, I'm
love
chatty.
That. Okay, we love it. I love a chatty guest.
That was all grown. Look, that was always on my report card. Talking too much. Hey, we should have gave me my work then.
Well, you're the best.
So fast and kept talking to people.
You're the best candidate for a podcast. So that's fine. It's fine. All right. So I'm gonna go next. So it's Black History Month, and I do actually take concerted efforts to do Black History Month activities. Mm. That's just something that I like to do. Mm-hmm. So whether it goes to plays or go to what, just do something that's happening. I try to do something.
Black.
If it's not watching the films, it's something. Like, so we watched Origin. We watched this movie we're going to review. But I also went, luckily my work allowed us, since I'm a federal employee, they just our agency allowed us to have a Friday where we get priority tickets for the National Museum of African American History and Culture. And I mean, the tickets are free, but because you have to request them, you're not going to get them the month you want. Like if you're like, let's go next week. Mm-hmm. No, they might not be tickets available. You have to like request them in advance.
Yeah. You have to like reserve.
Right. Yeah. You have to like reserve so they can monitor who's coming in. Cause people come in from all over the country just to visit every weekend, every day, whatever. So they gave our agency priority tickets so that if we requested them, we had the spots for that day. Like the day that I went, it was like 700 people were there just from our agency alone and all the different departments, you know. So I was able to go, and they gave me like a friend ticket too. So I was like, I grabbed my little cousin and we went, and I have never been into that museum before, and I absolutely loved it. I mean, it was so much. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, you could be like, okay, this is a lot, but it was just so much in how they presented information, how much stuff I needed to learn still. Mm-hmm. I didn't even have enough time. We were there from 10 to like 3, and I still didn't like look at everything.
Yeah, they say there was you should so take much. A couple days to see the whole thing.
No, you need it, because I don't even think we went through the bottom slavery part yet, because I was just like looking at all the stuff, the intricate information, even stuff that how they presented it, you're just like, yeah, you know, the slave trips, ships came, but I didn't realize how many came. I didn't realize the sheer number of people that were stolen or the sheer number of people that died. Like, they had all the names of the ships in some kind of fixture, and then they had the number of people on board and the number that died.
Oh.
Or the number, let's say the number that made it to the Americas. So basically, out of every 100 people they stole, only 46 people made it to the Americas.
Mm.
Every ship had like mad people down, and it was all over a course of a couple hundred years. And I just didn't see it visualized the way they did so smartly. I was like, dang, you really can't quantify this. And it goes to the point from the movie Origin that we watched about how the lady was fighting with the Jewish lady about, oh no, the Holocaust. At least there was a number for the Holocaust. But she was arguing that with slavery, the Atlantic slave trade, there's no number. There's the amount of people that died in passage or in walking or any kind of is like more than the people that died in the Holocaust. And we're not trying to like rank the... We're not trying to do the charge of the Olympics, but she was trying to say, hey, you can't just push this aside either, you know? And I saw that, and I was just like, damn, just certain little things I didn't know, certain little bits of information. It was really nice. Plus, the museum has, like, all this high-tech stuff. Mm-hmm. It has, like, all this intricate ways of interactive way of displaying information for you to interact with the information. Mm-hmm. You can touch stuff. You can slide stuff. You can... We went on a Green Book ride where we got to like pick and choose the destination on the car. It was so interesting.
I feel like that would be an interesting exercise, almost like a traumatic video game, because I think of Lovecraft Country.
But it wasn't like that.
That was such a good show.
Oh my God,
who
amazing.
We
got
to talk to bring that back? Are they going to listen to this podcast?
We talked about Mr. Majors many times in our topics on blackness. I don't think he's going to make a comeback after what came out.
No, he killed it.
He's dead now. He's been skewered.
I held out hope for a little bit. I was like,
But the best thing about this museum was... They also had like Afrofuturism. They had Black Panther's outfit in there, Wakanda Forever.
I haven't seen that. I'm not gonna say nothing about it, but I want to see it.
It's really nice. But the best thing was the food. The food in the museum. They have like a cafeteria, but they have a Black chef cook every weekend, or every week there's a specialty chef, and it's like soul food that you can get every week. Man. When I tell you, me and this girl were eating, I mean, the food was slapping. It was slapping. Your mama slapping. It was just, I was shocked at how good I was like, this plate was like $20, but it was like, it was worth it. You're getting like high quality food, and I was shocked because we had something called cornbread stuffed trout, and that thing was just delicious.
That sounds good.
That sounds black as hell.
I took a picture. It was delicious. It was bomb.
Watermelon, bliggity black.
The whole
I'm
thing.
Telling you, because you know when you go someplace, you're like, this food ain't going to be that. That food was delicious. I was like, I've never had food this good in this kind of place. I was shocked. Everybody was grubbing. Like, it was delicious. They had ribs, like short ribs, braised short ribs, collard greens, a turkey neck, mashed turnips. a salad. I mean, sweet potato cobbler. Everything was good. I was like, me and her stayed a little too long in the cafeteria.
The cafeteria need to be its own exhibit. Yes,
but the black chef, kudos to you because you just turned the thing on. Like, the only negative I have was how expensive the gift shop was. Because I shouldn't have to pay $12 for a small keychain. I was mad. I wanted to support, but the only thing I ended up buying was a $12 bag of macaroni and cheese flavored popcorn. That's all I was going to buy.
But was the popcorn good?
It was a little salty, but it was very good. Okay, I ate the whole thing. It was delicious. Yeah, they had chicken and waffles, bread pudding, and macaroni and cheese. Oh. So I had to pick, and I picked that one. But I wanted a keychain or some other thing, or they had tons of books. Y'all know I love books. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, I can't spend my whole paycheck here. So they had African print jewelry and everything. They had scarf. Oh my God. And my cousin was like, this scarf is $80. I can't justify this purchase to my husband. So I was loving it. It was blickety black and I loved it. I will definitely say, please go. And I want to go back. Just because I need to go, really dive into all the information. It was so much. I have a few pictures on my page, y'all. Y'all can check it out. But, yeah, it was awesome. So that was I'm blurred on about.
I really want to go. I couldn't make it. I couldn't make it. But I would love to go. I have not been yet. Have you been?
I've been, but it's been before Black Panther was released. So then his suit wasn't there.
Okay. Yeah, the Afrofuturism exhibit is new, actually. Okay. So it's like one of the newer ones because apparently they have special exhibits that they change. And because we knew we weren't going to have time, we didn't go back to the historical site. Yeah. We just let's go check this special one and then we'll go to the gift shop.
Right.
So because we the timing, we just need more time to
do
everything.
It takes a lot of time to get through everything.
Yeah, because I wanted to read everything. I love the history. They had pictures, art, everything. It was beautiful. Screams, voices, people speaking, telling you the stories while you're watching. It was awesome. Statues, everything. Yeah. I'm a museum girl, so I really enjoyed it.
Museums.
But it was I needed to do that, and I appreciate that. So for Black History Month activities, y'all, let's get it.
Okay.
What about you? What you blurting out about, Whitney?
Let's see. Let me bring up my little checklist that I put my...
Bless you, dear.
God bless you all. So let me see. My first thing that I'm blurting out about is a trailer during the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
And you probably know which trailer it is. But
no, I don't. You know, don't? I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I watched the halftime show on YouTube after the the game.
I tuned in for Usher and then tuned back out.
That's what I do. Because I don't have cable now, I just wait for it to come online the next day. And I'm like, I'm going to watch
it. Yeah. That's okay.
So that's what I do. So I didn't watch the game.
They dropped the trailer, the first trailer for the Wicked movie.
Oh, yeah. But I saw that was out before the Super Bowl.
I had not seen any trailer for it until the Super Bowl trailer. And it's funny because I feel like maybe a week prior, I was thinking to myself, I haven't heard anything about this Wicked movie. When is that old movie coming out? I have been waiting 10 years for this movie. And they finally cast people, and I still haven't heard anything.
Right.
And then during the Super Bowl, they dropped the Wicked trailer. And Tiffany's sister was sitting
did you squeal?
Next to me. I did.
That's
like,
what I
right.
thought.
I was like, ah! I was like, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry.
They got some good vocalists. I mean, Ariana Grande plays Kristen Chenoweth's
character. And Cynthia Erivo is
Cynthia Erivo, her
fantastic.
Voice is awesome.
Oh my gosh. I just got chills because that
sing.
Woman.
She
yes.
can sing very well.
The first time God. I ever, she came onto my radar was and Bola's seen it because I forced her to watch it. But have you seen
notice the word forced, you just breeze through that. She likes to make me a captive audience in her home. Okay.
I do. I'm like, oh, there's this movie or TV show you should see, Bola, and you're gonna watch it right now. You've got you're a captive audience.
Was she on Empire? Am I remembering that correctly?
I didn't watch all of Empire. I watched some of it, but I didn't. I didn't finish it, even though I did love it for the time I did watch it.
She played Harriet Tubman.
She did, but I haven't watched it. Bad Times at the El Royale.
I haven't seen that.
You should see it. It's so good.
I don't blame you. I only watched it because Whitney made me.
And I can't even remember how it came on my radar, but some type of way. Maybe it was on YouTube, or maybe I was at the theater or something. And you know how sometimes stuff grabs you, and it's like, this isn't my usual genre that I'm excited. I mean, I like all genres, but it's not like my top one.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, it grabbed me, and I actually own it on YouTube. Where I can watch it on YouTube anytime. But the movie was just so good. So then I had to show it to everybody.
Okay.
That
say
I could.
That name again.
Bad Times at the El Royale.
Okay. I'm always.
I'm gonna
for
put
new
in the show notes.
Yes. Yes.
All right,
this one is a movie though. It has her in it, and it has Chris Hemsworth, mm-hmm. who plays a really wicked character in it.
And it also has the dude from, I don't know if you guys have ever watched Mad Men. John Hamm. He's in there too, but it's just so good. Like, the way they filmed it, and just, I don't know, the editing, the filming, the way they do it is just so good. I loved it. But that's the first time that she came on my radar, and she's like a singer in the movie. So I heard her like singing voice, and I'm just like, oh my God, she's amazing.
She can blow.
So when someone comes onto my radar significantly, they kind of stay on. Mm-hmm. They get about 5 bad movies before they fall off. And then they got a lot of leeway.
I like the quota there. Like, you got a lot of.
That's fair.
That's, you know how she adds? She like.
And it has to be in a row. So they get. Yeah. They start
even more. That's grace.
I have a list for guys like that I like, and I'll just be like shifting them out. Like, that's what I do. I'd be like, oh, this is my new obsession. Like, my new husband. I just like right now, Kingsley. We're going to talk about it later, but Kingsley, who played Bob in the movie, he's my new top. Like, he's Trevor Noah has been pushed down. Ben Barnes has been pushed down. That other black dude. Everybody's been pushed down.
Out. I'm a fan of him from the movie.
Yes, we'll get into it, but I'm going to let her finish blurting out. Blur it out, girl. Finish up.
Okay, so that was my first blurred out, so I'm excited about that Wicked movie finally coming. And my next two, they're kind of related. So I listen to this podcast every once in a while. It's not one of the ones I listen to super regular. It's called Good One, a podcast about jokes. And he had a guest star on there, and his name was Hrishikesh Hirway. And he had, the host had Hrishikesh Hirway on there because he modeled his show off of Hrishikesh Hirway's show. And Hrishikesh Hirway's show is called Song Exploder. So then after they did kind of some clips from Song Exploder, I was like, that sounds really interesting. So then I listened, they did the Kiss from a Rose episode. So Song Exploder is this podcast where he will talk to like the artist and like producers or whatnot that make a certain song, and they'll break the song down, but it's also really produced. So they give them like him the like stems and stuff. So he'll like have like the stripped down parts, and like kind of as they're talking about it, he kind of plays like stuff in the background, so you kind of see how the song got built up.
If you're like a music nerd like me, it's very interesting. I actually listened to that on one of my rides up from DC for work.
Which episode?
I listened to the Green Day one, the episode about Basket Case, only because I was driving and I couldn't change it to a different episode. I was like, let me just listen to one episode. And I was like, I like Green Day, so I was like, yeah, I had my punk rock phase back in school. So I was all into all the alternative music. I still like rock music. But I like Green Day, and I was like, that song was not my favorite song of theirs, but I liked hearing about how they made the song.
Yeah.
And what was going on, and it's very interesting to like see the journey of a song.
It
and
is.
What it was and what it was intended, and then all these, and you're just like, oh wow, for real?
So fascinating. So
the concept for that podcast is very, very engaging.
Because really
at first
is.
I was like, is this going to be interesting? Is it going to be no. As soon as he was talking, I just let him talk. And I was just listening. And I was like, oh, I need to get on that Seal episode next. Because I love Kiss from a Rose. And you remain. No, exactly. Get it. Can't be seen. Baby. If I could do a kiss from a rose on the bay. Oh my God. I don't want the word. I never knew all the words. I just liked the song. That was like, I love that song. I can't name any other Seal song, but that.
Yeah, I don't know what else they made.
Oh, I know one other Seal song. Fly Like an Eagle, because it was on the space.
Oh, yeah, it was. Fly Like an Eagle into the future. Yeah, that was Seal?
Yeah, that was Seal.
I thought that was a white man singing it.
No, it was Seal. I knew it was a black man.
It was Seal.
I knew it was a black guy. I just didn't know it was him.
Speaking of, the Space Jam soundtrack for the original Space Jam was just fire.
Everybody get up. It's time to slam down.
Wait, did Seal do that?
We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. It's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam.
That is a fire song. Come on now.
I gotta add that to
Evergreen. Evergreen.
Right? It was just, and then the Monstars, which is harder to find now. I'm gonna have to download. I'm gonna have to get the
Wait,
space.
Wait, how does that go with Seal though?
They did have a song.
Yeah, yo, I just got a blast.
Hit 'em high, hit 'em high, hit 'em high, hit 'em high, hit 'em high.
I don't even know, but what's going on? But how does Seal relate to that song?
Which song?
The one, the Space Jam.
Fly like an eagle.
Fly like an eagle.
That was on the Space Jam soundtrack?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, sorry. I needed to make the connections.
But it's a really cool show. So I don't listen to every episode, but I listen to a lot. Because if there was an artist I knew, even if it wasn't a song of theirs that I was familiar with, I listened to it. But some of my favorite ones that I listened to was Siddhartha Khosla, who apparently did the main title theme of Only Murders in the Building. And it's not one that I would have, you know, you would have thought, but like, it's so different because it's like a theme and it's like orchestral kind of too, but it's so interesting listening to him talk about how he put it together and hear like the background where they put in like the stems of how like it got built up. Also, of course, Seal, Kiss from a Rose, great episode. And Hozier, Nina Cried Power featuring Mavis Staples. That one was a great episode. Yeah.
I've never heard that song, but I'm interested. That sounds like a very, very powerful song. Yes. Mavis Staples?
Yeah.
And Hozier, they did the Tame in the Church, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of song.
Yeah, they had a lot of soul in that song.
I had not heard of that song until I listened to this podcast episode, and I was like, ooh, I'm going to have to add this to something.
That's a lot of a song. So what's the name of that song again?
It's called Nina Cried Power featuring Mavis Staples.
Wow, Nina Cried Power.
Yeah, everything will be in the show notes.
Yeah,
don't worry.
We'll throw it in there. We'll throw it in there.
Oh, there's show notes. Okay.
Yeah, we always
do the show notes.
Y'all, I was taking my own notes on my iPhone because I was like, oh, I want to remember that later.
Yeah, I'll do the show notes. All the information will be up in there. Maybe I'll put links. I'll put links to videos, songs, whatever you got. So you're blurting out about the podcast Song Explosion.
Song Exploder.
Excuse me. Yes. My bad. All right. That's cool. I'm not going to lie. That's awesome. All right, yo. So we are going to now get into the review.
Okay.
All right. So we do first impressions. All right. So we're going to start with you, Asia. Tell us what your first impression was of the film.
This might sound messed up. I could not understand what they were saying.
Oh, my God.
It took me a little while to understand the patois. I was like, you should have had subtitles.
You ain't alone, chick. You ain't alone.
Okay, I thought it was just me.
No, it was not just you.
It was not you. Apparently, it was intentional from what the research I had done.
Okay.
But, girl, I would have loved to have some subtitles,
right?
Okay?
Can't wait till this comes out on streaming.
I'm sorry. But sometimes with Jamaicans, and I remember I had a date with a Trinidadian. I did not understand him.
You got to just feel what they're saying because you're not going to understand the words.
I need it.
Because I'm going to be creepy looking because I'd be trying to like concentrate. So then I'd be like,
I love
that's
how
I was staring at the screen.
I love how in the film people were like, I didn't catch that. Like the white people were like, I didn't catch that. And I'm like, you didn't catch it either. Okay.
And I came in a little late. So there was one point where everybody was like giggling. And I was like, dang, what did I just miss? Because I don't know what he just said. But then after a while, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of understanding it. The music was great. It was great to just
vibe.
See the bits of the passion that he put into the music. For me, I'm a huge music fan, and so I like to really go on that journey, like you were saying with that song explosion. Like that sounds awesome. So to kind of see, for instance, when they were doing the title art to the Exodus album,
right?
Or you know what this album how that is different from what was first put out, and so why this is going to be so impactful to the people at this moment. So and then it's like, okay, well now when you sing Redemption Song, I'm like, oh, like it feels a little different.
Right
So you can kind of experience the words a little bit more because you know he had the insight. Now other folks who follow Bob Marley, I wasn't a huge follower, so I didn't know. Maybe this was already out in the world, and so it exposed people like me who didn't know these things, who just
died before any of us were born. So I don't blame you. Yeah.
To get into the I don't want to say the psychology of it, but the philosophy of the music. So I thought that was a nice touch.
Go ahead, Asia. Some fire like phrases.
I told you I'm a nerd. I'm just hood. I be messing corporate America. They don't know what to do with me.
I love what you said.
I'm a nerd.
Oh my goodness.
But and then it was like to see his love for the people, right? Mm. So that was something that I took note of because sometimes it gets harder and harder to be that way. And right. Like just how society is. And
right.
Tensions just seem to increasingly build.
Right.
And then I think it's a concept in science that, you know, everything increases toward entropy. Mm. Right? So and toward like just chaos. Right?
Yeah.
So sometimes you can even feel that it's like palpable. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, I can feel in the energy of the people, right?
Coming in the air tonight.
Yes. Oh Lord. I feel like you do that all the time. That's the one song you do all the time.
It's applicable to some. Oh yeah, that drum solo is like fire.
And I'm a bass person because I used to play cello, so I love bass.
Oh,
yeah.
I love
bass.
That lead up, anyway. Man. I'm like,
awesome, oof. Right?
Y'all done brought Phil Collins in.
I know. I love. All right, Whitney. Why don't you like tell us about your first impression of the film?
That's my first does. Impression was like,
stop. I'm sorry, Whitney. Go ahead.
My first impression was the trailer, and I'm not always, well, not you, to be honest, not even not always. I'm not usually like a biopic type of person.
Oh, I love biopics. My
Bola
favorite.
Loves them.
I love them.
So Bola will like, when we do a biopic, it's usually because like Bola suggested it. But like, looking at it, I was like, this looks really interesting when I saw the trailer for it.
And it had my husband in it. Sorry, my bad.
So I was just like, I'm actually interested in this, which is kind of, it's interesting when you see something where you normally wouldn't be into it, but you're like, for some reason,
it's pulling at you.
Yeah.
It's calling you.
Yeah. I'm intrigued. I want to see this. So that was like my first impression was just like, the trailer just drew me in. It made me interested to see it. And I'm also, like you, didn't know that much about Bob Marley. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
so I know
we
a couple
just
of
knew
songs.
Of him.
Yeah.
But I didn't, like, I'm not going to lie to you. My first impression of the whole film was, once I saw the trailer and my husband playing him, I was like, of course, he's like the bio king person. The biopic king. That's what I call him. Anyway. But
that man is
his Kingsley, just holler at your chick. If you're unmarried, just holler at your chick. Anyway. Let me stop because I'm going to get too much into him. I love him. I watched anything
who got
I saw
out
him
the harem?
In. People got knocked down. Let's just say that.
Oh, so
Jonathan Majors got kicked out because I was.
Oh, okay.
He's
got to be out.
Yeah. He's out now because I'm like, once those other two chicks came and be like, he assaulted me too, I was like, it's over. I don't know how long Megan Good going to stay with
once
his ass.
Once he called
but,
Megan Good Coretta Scott King, he was out for me. I'm like, all right. Let's wrap it up.
Let me bring it back. Oh my God. Okay, so I was like, I remember I was just bobbing my head the whole time because the music in the film is just so palpable. It's so like vibe inducing. It's just like, I was just like, the whole time I was just there for the music. Like, that's my main thing. And I was like, oh, but I did not know much about Bob's life. Mm-hmm. And I really did not understand a lot about the Rastafarian faith and everything, too.
That was
too.
Really interesting to me.
Looking at all that
I've
stuff was
heard
interesting.
Of it, but I didn't know that it was a sect of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
I knew of Rastafarian.
It's like a mix.
And I knew
like,
it was like religious.
I wouldn't say Christianity. I would say a mix because they mix like some Judaism in there too because they're more on the new side.
But
you're right.
It was like Christianity in there too. So I'm like, you know.
I would call it a sect of the Abrahamic faith. That's what I would call it personally just because I'm into theology.
Like other.
Yeah.
Like Christian, Muslim,
yeah,
Jewish,
it's like one of the sub ones others. In there. Yeah. I would say that.
Rastafari.
Right. Because it's very interesting.
That part, I loved that. I kept saying it after
but
the movie.
I know,
Rastafari.
Rastafari. I mean.
It was just, it was it's a phrase.
It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool.
It's cool and powerful. Yeah. Rastafari.
Okay, so I, as you guys know, I always do research and everything. But let me finish my first impression. But I enjoyed the film. Mm-hmm. I really, really did. Now, I do have some things I will get into when we talk about the negatives.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I thought it was a solid, good film. My first impression was like, I think they did a great job capturing his essence. Because, I mean, there's people talking about the different things, about, oh, the story. But I felt like since this was made by the family, it's so special. And it was like a slice of life thing. Because it wasn't like all of Bob's life.
Yeah,
it was just like this little slice of what happened to him that produced the Exodus album. So I took it there, I kept it there. It wasn't like this sprawling where we need to find out everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I was okay with that. Some people were not, but I enjoyed what they did. And I only wish they had more of a concert that when he came back to Jamaica. I was like, y'all cut it short. Like, y'all should have had some more scenes. They had, it wasn't even a 2-hour film. Like, y'all could have put some more concert in here. I wanted more of the concert at the end. But I enjoyed the film. And I enjoyed my man. Okay. Now, go ahead, Whitney.
I was just blown away near the beginning when the attempted assassination.
Right.
That was so crazy. And when they was coming for Rita, I was like, no. And she was something. And they were like, and she, when she lived after she got shot in the head, the, and they said the dreads saved her.
Hallelujah.
And it's funny because my brother ran track, and he used to like the people from like Eastern Virginia were always like doing really good. And he was like, yeah, you notice they all got dreads. I'm gonna get me some dreads. I'll run faster. And I'm
what
like,
what does dreads have to do with running faster?
But he was just like a lot of the really good runners. They had dreads. So my brother's like, I gotta get me some dreads.
Oh yeah, Bob was running, yo. Bob was running.
But I was just looking. I was like, yeah, maybe there's something to it. Maybe it's like a Samson type thing. There's power in the dreads.
Oh my God.
That's it. That's what they say. There's power in your hair.
Yeah.
And they say your hair protects it. Those locks protect you.
And it did. It was just, it was crazy. Because I was like, that is insane that she survived that.
I'm just glad. Exodus. Movement of Ja people. Sorry. I listened to, on the way home, I listened to the whole Exodus album. And then I, like, the next day, Sunday, we were driving up north to visit my cousin. And I was like, we going to listen to some more reggae, okay? I was getting into my Sean Paul. I'm still in love with you, but. Oh, my God. I was into the music so hard. Like, all the songs on the Exodus album are beautiful. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I was like, I kind of rediscovered the songs that I didn't know that I hadn't heard. Mm-hmm. Because, again, like you just like, you always hear Bob Marley in passing, you see it, mm-hmm. but it's not for our time because he died in 81. Like, none of us were born then.
Yeah.
So. But I do always remember seeing his image, the image of
that
the
same
music.
Image.
Yeah,
on, like,
everywhere.
And stuff.
Yeah. And even me, I was like, anytime I heard a song of it, I was like, no, this is good. This, I like this. Play that. Every little thing's going to be all right. Everybody knows that song. You know what I mean? I like how prolific his writing was. Like you were saying, it's like the philosophy behind the music. His life being for the people was almost like, I don't want to call him a martyr because I don't think so. I don't think he's that, but I liked
felt
how
like there was that type of,
he had that kind of spirit of like sacrificing himself.
I felt like
himself.
There was almost like a Christ-like
Messiah-esque
kinda,
thing that people saw in him.
Especially because of the thing that kind of stood out to me was like, and maybe it was just because of the way the film story was told, because you know, in the Bible, you kind of like, Jesus is born, and then you skip ahead to 33.
Right.
Yeah.
Everything in between that is just like, you don't really hear about that.
He was in India here.
Oh, interesting.
So I grew up in a religion, which could also be kind of seen as just a political party.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I would call it a faith, but I would call it, there's some religious aspects of it, and there's some political associations. But anyway. Mm-hmm. He was in Egypt or India? I can't
who
remember.
Who was he?
Jesus.
Okay.
Learning carpentry.
Mm. Interesting.
You think so?
The text says, I'm not, that's what it is in the text. I'm just offering it up.
Okay.
Cool. I have not heard of that.
Yeah. Somebody listening, check on that and let us know what y'all think.
Yeah, because we just never know. There are so many historical texts.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There are.
But it was just interesting because the way they told the story, like, you know, they didn't do the whole from the beginning. They picked a specific spot, like the spot that was, you know, they told the story of him being for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like it was very similar to, like, you know, they tell the birth of Jesus, and then they kind of in like the
it's like you don't
King
have
James
all
Bible or whatnot.
You don't have
it
all
skips ahead
stuff.
Like the
you don't got all
good
the details
deeds up until
yeah.
the crucifixion.
You don't have
exactly.
all the details.
And I felt like it was very similar to the film. Like they would flash back to when he was a boy in the film, but like it was focused on him being for the people in this concert and stuff. So I just found like a correlation.
Yeah. I could see how Bob Marley could be compared or seen in that light, because I feel like he lived his life in a way very similar to Jesus in that not being for self. That was the underlying thing. Because I think if you wanted to simplify and boil down Jesus to one thing, it's just like Jesus is love, which means myself is no bigger than yourself, and mm-hmm, we're all kind of just the same thing. We're all in it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so Bob Marley was very much that. Even you can see that unity, even with the all the money situation about. with the manager.
Yeah.
And so I just found that really interesting. And I also would have wished they went a little bit deeper in his mm-hmm. development mm-hmm. with him finding resolution mm-hmm. in accepting or Ethiopia kind of embracing him mm-hmm. And reconciling that with his father issues.
Mm. Right? You know, he so did go to Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. So we saw that. Remember that like metaphor they carried throughout mm-hmm. the movie.
Yeah,
like, them in a field,
right?
And we saw his father leave on horseback. Mm-hmm. So we see this shadowy figure,
yeah,
come through the. I thought about this a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So come through the fire, kind of mm-hmm. like baptismal by fire mm-hmm. is what I saw, right? So now they're in the middle in this clearing, and for most of the movie,
bless you.
God bless you. For most of the movie, mm-hmm. you don't see who that figure is. Yeah. Until the end, it's an Ethiopian guy.
Yeah.
It's not his father.
Mm-hmm.
But we see him in the same image that we saw his father last.
Right.
And mm-hmm. now that young boy is being taken. Mm-hmm. And now he's safe.
Oh, my God. I want to add to that because you are, like, on the same point where I was. Because I'm not going to lie to you. That was one of the critics. Not critique, really, but it was just something I was trying to understand throughout mm-hmm. the whole film. And I was like, I don't understand what's happening with this fire thing. I know it's important because they keep repeating it, but I was like, did something happen or is this just a dream? What is it? And I could not like figure out where it was, like, contextualizing it until I did send it to you guys, but I did watch that clip about Rastafari because I wanted to understand more about what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that the Rastari means, or Rastafari, the word comes from the Ethiopian word Ra, which means king, and Tarafik was the guy that they based it off. There was like, he was like a Ethiopian head king or something, and it was like based off of him. So Ra Tarafik is Rastafari. It just kind of like went that way, and he looked exactly like the guy. Because I was like, why is this a black person now? He looked exactly like that, and it was, I think, to show that he didn't care anymore that his white father rejected him, because Tarafik accepted him.
He was embraced by him
because that guy gave him that ring, which meant a lot to him from Ethiopia. And he was recognizing the Rastafarian people, and they had like a Rastafarian settlement in Ethiopia. And it was just like, it made so much sense. So I'm with you about that. It was like, I felt like the fact that we couldn't see his father was also because he only like had, there was only one picture ever of his father. His father died really early.
Oh, he died?
His father died his father was only 30 something as well. His father had a heart attack or something. He died like in the
50s. Oh, I thought he was just one of those, you know, absentee.
No, he was. He was one of those, I can screw you, but I'm not going to be there for you kind of guys. Yeah, so he didn't care to raise nobody. He didn't want his son, whatever, even though the son looked like him. Whatever. But I know that kind of thing, the abandonment of that, you can definitely see that. Oh, he was dealing with that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he found acceptance in the Rastafarian faith and the pillar of that faith, which was this guy, this king guy, mm-hmm. Tarafik, and... I'm sorry if I'm saying the name wrong, but it's like, I'll show you the video, y'all. I'll put in the show notes because y'all can understand what I'm talking about. But I was on the same page. Like, mm-hmm. it was helping him to shape that. We don't know what his personal journey is, but I feel like they were trying to show that, or the family was trying to show that in mm-hmm. some way. So mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. But I liked understanding where the word came from mm-hmm. and how much this faith kind of, for somebody who feels abandoned. Yeah. I didn't even know he was mixed, to be quite honest with you. I did not know he was mixed about him.
Yeah,
I did not. And so I was like, oh my God, his dad's white? What? You know?
I didn't know that. Yeah.
And Kingsley's also have half white, half Trini. And people, I don't know if y'all know that. Kingsley Benadire, he's actually half white, half Trini.
Trini?
Trinidadian.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So he's got, like, I was like, you really got the perfect, like, you really good to play this, because a lot of people are like, no, you too tall, you too handsome. And even he himself, in the interviews I watched, Kingsley was like, y'all sure y'all want to do this? He's like, do another search. Because he was like, I'm not the one to play this. Because he respected the, like, because he's from a lot, there's a lot of Afro-Caribbean people in England. A lot of the black people are descendants from Jamaica, the islands and stuff. So he's like, this culture, this thing is too big. I don't want to mess it up. He's like, I don't look nothing like him. And I don't want, he's like, this is not about, you know, Oscars or nothing. He's like, if we're doing Bob, we have to portray him right. So he even told them, go find somebody else and then come back to me. And the family was like, no, you got the right essence. And then once they were like, it's on, then he was like, I'm going to do the work. And I really liked that he was not trying to defend himself. He's like, I'm not trying to do a copy or imitation. I'm just trying to really express Bob to everybody. And I really, really like, so all the haters, shut up, okay? I thought he did a good job. He was so captivating. I mean, he is beautiful to look at, but the first shot, I know you didn't see because you missed the beginning, but the first shot, you just see him as Bob. His eyes, you just, I was pulled into the film like that, like from the very beginning. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be good. You know?
I do want to talk about one part of the film that I just found. I was just like, damn. And also found hilarious.
Right.
When he found out that his friend had was like taking the money for like the African tour and he went and confronted him, I'm like, dang, that's cold, man. Because he ain't punched him. He was like, I don't have enough respect for you to punch him. He like bitch slapped him.
I didn't realize he said that.
Yeah. Oh my God. Whitney was like, no, he didn't say that.
I'm saying what I saw. I was like, because, you know, like, usually a man's going to come over there and you know, like, you know,
that's true.
But he was like, bitch slapped him.
It was a bitch, where's my money type slap.
Right. Yeah. Right, Asia. Yeah. Right. Oh my God.
And I was like, damn, you know, he don't have no respect for you because he ain't have enough respect to punch you.
And
him.
This
bitch,
is how you know Bob was
hood. Pimp slaps. Like, bitch, pimp slaps.
And this is how you know Bob was hood because once he said that one comment, he came back with the chair, the folding chair. He's like, oh, you about to get it.
We about to go WWE up in here.
And I remember I told Wendy, like, remember that thing that happened last summer with the black people fighting the white people and the guy
had
the chair?
What were they calling it? Oh, there were so many names for
so
it. It was a moment.
It was a
black
moment.
History moment.
I was ready for
the
it.
Alabama brawl.
Yes,
the Alabama
yes, the race brawl. That thing was so fun. I was loving all the merchandise, the earrings that came out, like, with the chair.
The Alabama
brawl. That thing. But he took that folding chair. He was like, if these people didn't stop me, he's like, don't forget, man, I'm from Trench Town, okay? Sorry about that, y'all.
But
I'm
it
sorry.
Was just.
But I tried to go there. My Jamaican's not very good.
He was just like, you know, I'm sorry to keep making the comparison, but it was another Christ correlation to me. It reminded me of Jesus in the temple.
Oh,
when
yeah, when he was like, oh, he's like, I'm
how
flipping
dare
this.
You do
I'm
this,
flipping
right?
this. Father's house.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was like, it was just another correlation for me. But I'm like, dang, man, he really don't respect you. He then bitch slapped you to the ground.
I have to say, Asia, I will say this. What did you think of how the actors did with the accents and stuff? Because they both, one, LaShawna Lynch is Jamaican. She's Jamaican. Both her parents are Jamaican. She's just
Jamaican.
British because she was a descendant, but they're Jamaican. She felt drawn to the role. He's from Trinidad, proximity, not quite Bob, but everybody loved Bob in the islands. But so they both felt the culture really well, but they have British accents, you know? Mm-hmm. But I felt like they did an awesome job. What did you guys think?
I didn't notice it not sounding Jamaican.
Right?
I mean, super Jamaican.
It was
so
very
Jamaican.
Believable
it
to me.
It didn't
so
sound
Jamaican that I needed subtitles. Like,
yeah,
right?
It was super Jamaican.
The patois was pop twine, okay? And I didn't know what they were saying. I like the relationship they portrayed. Now, I did not know that I was a little bit of a hoe. He had a lot of chicks and a lot of kids. I didn't know that. And I was like,
he was out here.
He was out here.
And being a hypocrite, too.
Right. I was like, how you going to roll up on Rita when you got like three other baby mamas?
But he loved her. He didn't want her with nobody else. You know, the typical. Mm-hmm. Just out here, just slinging that thing around.
I didn't even.
But
I had
you
to check it.
You don't want your wife out here,
right?
No, you got to stay here to raise all my kids. I'm making out.
I had to check it because I was just like, wait a minute, because I saw that she had five kids, but like two of her five kids are not his children. And then I was like, well, wait a minute, how many? And then I saw the long list under his. And I was like, oh damn. He had way more kids. Now I know Arita was mad in the movie.
He was out here Nick Cannon in it.
Oh my God, no you didn't.
I bet you in real life, Rita probably went upside his head a couple times.
Probably. Yeah.
They're not going to show that in the movie.
They're not going to show it, but I'm sure she did.
Like, I know she was.
I heard she was
stuff.
Taking care of some of his children, too. Some of the ones that just she was taking care of because she was the wife.
Because she loved him, too. She loved him deeply,
right.
But I know she went upside his head.
But they did a good job. They did a good job. Any other perks that we want to talk about?
I want to talk about near the end, because before the end, the gang leaders, when they came to him in London, like, that just shows how powerful and how much of an impact he had. Because they're like, we are coming to you. We have made peace. Like, these were two gang leaders at odds. One of them possibly put out the hit on him. And they are coming to him now. Like, we need you to come back. We will protect you. I'm like, that is an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And then even like at the very end, when the guy who actually shot him.
Oh my gosh, that was a redemption moment right
there. I was like, that is just, it was so powerful because it's like, he forgave that. And the guy came for forgiveness. Like, that is impact. That is such an impact. I was just.
The guy like looked at him incredulously because he was just like, I don't even know what to do with you. He was like, I wasn't expecting that. He was like, you. It was almost like he was in awe of him as he was going away because he was like, he couldn't say anything. He knew he was in the wrong, but he was like, just to be forgiven that easily and with that love and with that like forgiveness, he's like, oh my God. And then he just left. And I was like, oh my God, that really happened? That is amazing because he had all, he had the right to stay angry. I would have popped him. Let's not, it's not me that's it was in the film because I don't think that would have went down the same way. But I agree. That part was really powerful.
Think what he did was more impactful than getting mad at the man.
Right.
Because if you do something to somebody and you feel bad about it, you want them to either be mad at you because then it kind of makes sense, the guilt you feel about it.
Yeah.
But when they respond positively, like I've had people do me wrong and I respond to them positively, it makes them have to sit with that fit. Like, no,
look at what I did.
I'm not finna resolve you of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine for me.
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna respond angry because then you'll be like, well, she did kind of fuss me out. So I guess, you know, it evens out in the wash. Like, no, hold that and I wish you well while you go and figure that out. Take your
the Lord's
stuff.
Still working on me.
Take your baggage back with you, please.
Right. The Lord's still working on me. But I mean, that just goes to show like his spiritual. I'm not gonna lie, there's a song on the album Exodus called Mystic Something. Oh, Lord, I'm mad. But it's Mystic Something. And you really see that on Bob. Like, he does have this kind of mystical quality to him. That
I
you
feel
like
Rastafarianism in general feels very mystical. Mystic.
Right, right.
I believe all Black people are magic. We've just been taught to not. I think we all have that in us.
Yes.
Black Some other magic. People can recall it more easier than other people.
That makes sense. It's
they spend a lot of time, energy, and money and strategy into making us forget that. Because this is a tangent, but if you think about it, if the roles were reversed in slavery and we captured and were that brutal to people that look white, you think there'd be any white people living today? Do you think they could survive the brutality?
No. No.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
And now we're left with the American Black people. If your ancestors came from America, you're like the cream of the crop of the strongest and the bravest or the cunning, the most swift.
Right?
I understand that.
We are magic.
Right, right.
That is
That's
true.
Good.
It's interesting. Another tangent. It makes me think about there was, I don't know if it was during the Bob Marley movie or it was another movie, but there was the first trailer for the movie, The Society of Magical Negroes.
Oh my God.
Which is a movie coming out. I don't know when it's coming out.
It's a movie I wanted to see until I saw the trailer, and then I was like,
Is it not giving what we needed to give?
It does have that magical part, but the storyline was like a rom-com, and then he ends up liking a white girl, and I'm just like, no. I was upset, because I was like, I was hoping this would be something else. I don't know. Now I'm not interested.
The title, because I became aware of it because, like, the movie poster, and all it was, it looked like some kind of old leather-bound book, and it had the title on there. I was like, ooh, intriguing. And then the trailer comes, and it's like, not where I thought.
Exactly. And again, it's like Black people saving white people from this or keeping them from that. And I'm like, what is happening with the storyline here? I thought it was about magical Black people doing what they got to do, surviving and like being something more interesting. Yeah. But just to be thrown into the spot and you're like, you have to make sure this white person doesn't get mad. And then I'm like, I was like, what is this? And then he's like, you have to help this white person stay happy. That's the whole point. It's like they're magical Negroes. They make the white people comfortable so they will stay happy so that life is better for the Black people around them. And I'm like, I don't care for that at all. And
but
then
it might be interesting.
Started,
it might be a very tongue.
He started falling in love with the white girl that he's supposed to put with the white boy. And then and I was just like,
I'll probably go see it just to be interested in how it turns out. But I was really kind of hoping for almost like a high fantasy type.
Me
of
too. And I
because
you
know we don't have a whole lot. So like that's why I just fell in love with like Watchmen and Lovecraft Country because it was like. You know,
historical.
I'm a fantasy sci-fi nerd. I'm many types of nerds, but I'm fantasy sci-fi. And there's not a whole lot when we make movies. A lot of our movies are like the BET movies, which are like Lifetime, but for Black people.
Yeah. We're getting into American fiction now.
Yeah, I mean, not but that's real.
Yeah, so I'm like, can we have some sci-fi, some fantasy?
We need
like,
a market for it.
Mm-hmm. But when you do, they get mad. Like, oh, remember
but
the backlash?
Lovecraft Country was like so successful.
That's
though.
If that's made for blacks. But if it's like you're trying to put black people where the white people are, then they get mad. Like they were mad about black people, black hobbits in the sequel to no the
Rings
prequel
of Power.
Rings of Power to Lord of the Rings. They were like, so black people can't exist in the Hobbit, like. Like they can't be hobbits. They were mad about the black people in the prequel to
these
the
like incels.
Game of Thrones.
Incels are funny because they're like can't have a black mermaid. It's
that's
like,
what I'm saying. It's all of it.
Not,
so it's like
yeah,
these
real.
Things that were
not
occupied
real.
By white people.
Wait,
they're like we can't
real.
Be there, and I don't like that.
Literally any color.
But I was like, why can't we be in those places? That's what I was mad about with the whole backlash because it was like all these fantasy places that they wanted to interject black people in, and it was like, oh, now no, you can't be there. Ariel has never been black. Like this is a fictional character.
We don't
know
there.
What she could have been purple. Y'all would have to deal with it. Like, come on.
Wakanda's way more lit anyway. It's
thank you. That's
the
my that's
Another
my happy
universe.
Place.
Everybody want to be in Wakanda anyway.
The food tastes better than I know.
Anyway,
already,
so I want to
smell like cocoa butter. I know. So, we fine over here in Wakanda.
All right, I want to get into
that,
the. I want to
make.
I want to get into
quick
the
quick aside.
Okay.
That reminded me of the SNL episode with Chadwick Boseman when he was like,
oh yeah,
there.
The potato salad.
Yeah.
Hell no, Karen. Keep your bland ass potato salad to yourself. I'm going
to
send you the clip.
Well,
that
we'll
shit
have to
is
put it in the
funny.
Show notes.
Oh,
it's
I like Black Jeopardy. It wasn't
yeah,
it's called
that's
Black Jeopardy.
It is. It's okay. A segment.
It
that,
is hilarious.
I seen it called Black Jeopardy.
Oh my God.
So
yeah,
he kept giving
job.
Like very, you know, refined answers. And it would be, Keenan would be like, no, 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 man. And he's like, oh, I think I finally understand now how this game goes. It's hilarious. You gotta see it.
Okay,
you gotta see it.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
Time. I want us to get into the like the what the negatives. Okay.
Okay.
So there were a few things though I listened to the critics. Not that I pay attention to them or I believe everything they say, but I was trying to understand the criticism because I was like, okay, everybody's watching the film. Let's see. Because again, I thought this was a great film, but I was like. I will do the rating at the end, but I did not rate it like a full on like we normally do. And I was like, there were some things in the film that I was just like, okay, this could have been done better, or this could have been like some more. And I think it was because the music, the expression, the art, and the all the other elements were there, but I think there was some plot holes in.
Yeah.
The fact that they were like, there's some things where you're like, okay, why put it in if you're not gonna linger on it?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah, we wanna really talk about Bob in this particular moment, but then we do have to, like, let's touch on, but we only have this one scene about them fighting. Or we only have this one thing about his life. Like, that's where I was like, we kind of need a little bit more. If you're gonna bring these things up, we just need a little bit more, you know? And that's why I was so confused about that whole scene with the fire. I'm glad I went back and read that thing, and you said it too, because it made me think and understand. But I didn't get it while I was watching it. And I was like, what's this about? And I was like, at the end of it, I still don't know what this is about.
Yeah.
You know, so there were a few points in the film where I was just like, yeah, this part is, like, I wish they had shown more of the friend that was skimming money.
Yes.
I wish they had shown
I
just a little bit more sparks. Just a little bit more parts to be like, oh, so he was so nice, so kind, so believing of the people around him that he wasn't checking for stuff. But I wanted, like, they only had it in a few scenes. Maybe like one or two. And then it just blows up. And you're just like, well, where was that? Like, is this a real big issue?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, I get y'all trying to show that, oh, no, when he was about business, he was about business. But at the same time, it was like, this is like a big deal. Like, this guy was, like, stealing money from him. That's what I'm not sure what he was doing, but he wasn't doing the right thing. So, stuff like that, or the issue with him and Rita. Like, there was this one scene where there was just a girl, pretty girl, that just came to his door, and then you just kind of have to infer what happened.
I assume they did it.
I was like, why was she there?
The payphone scene when he was calling Rita.
Yeah.
And the white girl was in the background, and I was like, this is an interesting framing.
Right. And I was what's going on here?
I'm going to believe that Bob's being faithful until we got later in the movie, but I was like, this is suspicious framing.
Exactly. Because then you just don't know what he was doing.
Jamaican men.
I know. But I was just like, certain parts, I felt why people had that complaint about the film, that there was some plot holes in the story. But again, this was from the family, and this is what they wanted people to know about Bob. They didn't want to do like this whole sprawling, full on, like, this is all about his life. They're like, no, we just want you guys to see a depiction of Bob in a different light. Maybe you learn a little bit more than you did know, but I was content to be where it was. But just for story purposes, there were some plot holes and things that I was like, this could have been extended. Like I said, I think they should have added more to that concert scene at the end. And apparently at the end of that big concert, that did a lot for helping out with the Jamaican issues, that in the real Bob took the two leaders that were fighting, not the gang leaders, but the two political leaders. And he like brought them together and put their hands together.
But I thought they showed that in the end, when they were showing actual
footage. But why can't they just let the Bob that we were watching, why can't they just extend the content and go to that?
I liked that they showed actual footage.
I don't know.
I like the end of biopics. Like, I think they did in Queen, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when they did that last show in Africa, that was, like, Freddie Mercury's last show with Queen. Mm-hmm. So, but I could see what Bola's saying. If they did, like, just longer in that biopic before showing the real footage. Yeah. They did in Tina Turner too with Angela Bassett.
Right.
But they give her some time to let it cook first before they like bring that. The footage of Tina Turner. So they could have like extended.
They could have extended. Like, to me, the ending of this film was too abrupt. I just thought they needed a little bit more. Me too. I wanted more. Especially of that ending scene. I really wanted more. Also the issue with the skin cancer, everything.
Yeah. I was mad about that. I'm like, so you don't want to lose like a toe or whatever, you gonna die rather than lose this toe.
Is it something in the religion that prevents?
No, I just think it was just nothing he was trying to get done. It could have been like he's just like, I'm not gonna bother with this. This is not. Maybe he just really thought he was gonna be invincible, or he's not gonna worry. Like,
well, he said his life, he wasn't worried about his own life. He lived for a greater purpose.
That is true.
So.
Maybe it was because he wanted to get back in time to do that concert, so he didn't. That actually makes it more noble. Okay, never mind.
I think it came more from a noble place. I think his priorities were like
focus
literally
on the message,
world peace.
And Jamaica the peace. And because he wanted to travel. He wanted to go to Africa. He wanted to do so many things. It's just unfortunate that he didn't get his health in check so that he could have stayed longer to actually do those things. But I also like that they showed, even though everyone knows him for being a peace-loving person, but he's still a person. They showed that he struggled with things, like the issue with his father not wanting that, or like that him leaving, having to be in, he called it exile, which I liked the word exiled, but he had to leave because he was like, I can't believe my people tried to kill me, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going to lie to you. I was like, what was he doing that they wanted to kill him so bad? I didn't see it because I'm like, somebody who's talking peace, he's not taking sides. Now, why did they want to kill him? I didn't get it. No, you understood why they want to kill Martin, because Martin was about trying to uplift black people, and they didn't want that. But here in Jamaica, this was about peace and unified. They just got rid of England as their overlord and stuff. So I was like, he was all about, hey, I'm doing a unity concert for the people of our country. We're all the same color. So I was like, why are y'all trying to shoot him? I don't know why. To me, I was like, I didn't understand why they tried to attack him. Do you guys get it? Because I didn't.
I think it's about power. Like, when people want power that badly, they are willing to take out anybody who gets in the way of that. Yeah. And people united makes it hard for, like, the ones at top to be, like, truly in power.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it was. It was about power and not wanting someone who was gonna make the people, like, just
unify.
Yes, unify.
So against people that were against unity.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay. That makes more sense to me then. So if it was about their targeting a unifying presence and they wanted division.
But it's the same thing. Like, you think about like Martin and Malcolm. Like, Martin was about peace, but literally they're like
anybody who tries to unify in any way, because anywhere you got humans, you got power dynamics.
Yes.
In an office space.
Yes.
That is true.
If someone went around, if you're in a toxic workspace and someone was trying to or was getting people to say, hey, do you feel like this is toxic? XYZ, let's write a letter. That person's going to be a target.
Yeah,
and be seen to be extinguished
because
the they trying to unify people. You messing up the power dynamics. Right. Excuse me, I'm trying to oppress.
Right, exactly.
You're disturbing my oppression.
That could be it.
You see it so often. I don't know. Everybody knows the name Gandhi, but I don't know that much about him. But it's like he was supposed to be about peace.
Gandhi has a biopic.
Yeah, but it's like so many people who are about peace, like. People try to murk them all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the people
the
that's devil. Not about peace
devil at work.
Will kill you because they don't mind, because that's not their thing anyway. That's your thing.
That's
so while you're over there
there's
being peaceful,
in
division. They'll kill you.
There's
yeah.
And then there's always profit. And somebody's profiting, whether it's power or some other way. Somebody is profiting off division. And that is why it's constantly there.
Yep.
Constant. Because they know if we unify and come together, we could do many things, you know, like, but nobody wants to do that. Like, look at our country right now. Anyway, let's not get into that. But, because I just was confused about, because I was like, he's not a political person. He was not taking sides on the issue. Mm-hmm. He was just like, I want peace for the country, peace for the people. Mm-hmm. So that's why I didn't understand why he was a target for them. And he's like, I'm just putting on a concert. This is a music concert.
And free concert.
Thank you. So I was like, why y'all try to murk him? Like, you. Anyway.
F you.
I know, right?
Come out of here. That was terrible. Sorry.
Oh man. I mean, but I did enjoy this film a lot. I just think it's like a love letter from the family to their father, and to all the people that love him, and maybe don't know nothing about him too. Because I learned a lot. I was like, wow, I didn't know none of this.
Yeah,
I just knew that one song.
Very, very little.
Now I know him. Exodus. Movement of Jah people and the love songs that he came out with. I just want to love you. Oh my god, I don't know. There's some good songs. Y'all go listen to the Exodus album because it is good. All right, anyone want to add anything else to the review?
I appreciated what the movie brought, which was like I said, the insight to like why the words he said, why he said them.
Right, celebration of life.
And then I actually had a cousin who passed away a couple of years ago.
Sorry.
Cousin Glenn, who at his funeral, the song as it carried his casket out, he requested it be One Love by Bob Marley. He was a really heavy Bob Marley follower.
Okay.
Like really into Bob Marley. And so it made me even kind of revisit that. And I was like, wow, what a power. I mean, it was just a good song.
Yeah.
And a good word was preached and it kind of lifted up our moods at a very sad occasion. And I was like, wow, thinking back on that, what a wonderful song to kind of, and the celebration of life, sir.
Right.
And it was so good. And I think the family did a great job of being honest about who he was while still protecting his legacy. Because we could tell that man was slanging that thing from here to Timbuktu. But they kept the conversation about the music and the message.
Right.
Because nobody's perfect. So I think it was honest, but I think it was a good nod to his legacy.
I will ask you guys this last thing, and then we can get into the review. So. Right. There was so many of his hits and everything in the film, and I think that's like one of the best things was how much of his music was in the film. But One Love was not in the film. Did y'all notice that? The actual song,
like
his name,
snippet, just a
like
little bit.
I don't even think he sang it really. Like One Love, I don't know if it was. It wasn't actually.
I
it
think
wasn't
it
in the film.
Played for just a brief second, but
you mean
wasn't.
At the end?
No,
end,
it
like
was
during
like
the
a
credits?
Scene. It was a scene. Something was happening. I can't remember. I saw it today.
Okay.
But it was like, ding, ding, and then it just went to the
I was
next
like,
thing.
So I no, felt some kind of way. I was like, why did they put that in the film?
They did not perform it at all.
Okay.
Not that I remember.
Okay.
I was like, they should have put that in there. That was the only other thing.
It makes
that
me think about those songs where you never know what the name of the song is because what the kind of chorus is isn't the name of the song.
Right.
So that kind of reminds me of that. It's like you, the movie's called One Love, but you don't have really
One
much
Love.
Of.
Yeah. In the song. Yeah. All right. Are we ready for review?
Yeah. Ratings.
Yeah. Okay. So this is how we review the film. We give a rating and out of 1 to 10, and we actually use glasses. Now, we also use a monocle and a contact lens, and here's what we do. So if you want to give it a half a point, it's like whatever the glasses and a monocle. So if you want to give it like a 0.25, it's a glasses and a monocle and a contact lens. No, the contact lens is the 0.25, right? So try not to be too messy with the math, because she does the math. I don't do it. But if you want to give it like, 7.5 or 8.5, you say 7 glasses and a monocle. Does that fit?
But if you want 7.75, it's 7 glasses, a monocle,
and a contact lens. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah. That's, yeah. So 0.25 is a contact lens. 0.5 is a whole point. 0.25
is a contact
lens.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got the
all right,
formula.
So we're going to let you go first, unless you need some time to think about
let
your rating.
Let me see what I rate it. I guess,
You can be honest as you
want. I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm not a huge, movie connoisseur. Some folks that get real serious about hey, so I guess I'll give it a good 7 glasses, a monocle, and I don't know, 3 contact lenses.
I think that's eight now. 8.25.
Oh yeah, I could have consolidated 2 contact lenses to a monocle and then
Okay. Sorry, we made this concept.
I did not reduce the fraction.
It's okay. We made this complicated.
8 glasses and a contact lens.
8.25.
I'm going to give it 7 glasses and a monocle. And again, like I have always said, if you get a 7 from me, it's a solid film. He got extra because I love Kingsley Benadire's face. And he just, his performance was phenomenal. And I don't really care if they put him for awards, whatever. I just think he did such a great job transforming himself. Mm-hmm. I like actors that can transform themselves into the person. Because, you have actors that they're like themselves every role.
Like Beyoncé. I love you, girl, but Beyoncé.
She can't act. We love her, but she can't act.
Beyoncé in any room.
Exactly. She can't act. She can't transform herself. But people like Meryl Streep or... I don't know, some
Johnny
other people.
Depp.
Johnny Depp, yeah. They transform into the person. And, I mean, he's been doing it. I saw him as Obama. I saw him as Malcolm X. I'm shocked that he was another person, another iteration. So I just had to give it extra for that. But it was awesome. And I love the Exodus album.
All right. Well, I'm going to give it 7 glasses, a monocle, and a contact lens. So 7.75.
All right.
And I don't really have so much... anything that I can point to specifically for me as to why it's not higher, because I enjoyed it, but it's just not for me.
It's not a 10 right now. It's not a 10, it's not an 8.
Like, you know how sometimes it's like I can't point to something that's missing, but it's just not at that level. Yeah.
I think they should have made it longer, I think, and then again interweave some of those points where they had only one scene about that thing. If they had interweaved some things earlier in there, then it might have been more full. So there's just some plot points. I think that's the issue.
For me, I can't point to that. I just know for me, it's not quite there. Like, 7, very solid. Anything 7 above for me is, again, a good movie, really good, solid movie. I just can't get there. And that made for some very messy math, ladies. It's 7.83.
We don't have an equivalent.
So it's glasses. Like 7 glasses, all right, it's a monocle, a contact lens, and then that ripped contact lens.
Let's just round.
Oh, Lord, now we're getting into ripping.
Let's just do basic math and round. What was the number?
7.83.
So we just going to, it's a 8. Let's just round up.
Eight.
Let's round up. 8 glasses for Bob
Marley. Give
it an extra
couple points.
All right, y'all. One love before we go out. One heart. Let's get together and feel all right. What about the children?
One love.
Y'all, come on.
I don't know the song like that. I'm sorry.
Lift thanks and praise to the Lord and be all right. All right, guys. So, Asia, thank you again for joining us.
You are so awesome
for joining us today. I hope you can come back again. We love having guests. I know if you're not a big film watcher, but whatever. Sometimes we review TV shows too.
Yeah.
So if there's something interesting, holler at us. We can do an episode about it. Okay?
Let me know. Hit me up. I'll pop in, pop out.
Thank you so much for joining us.
All right.
right, everybody. We're going to tell you. I hope you enjoyed this month of love and blackity, blick, black, blackiness.
Blickity, black.
And just, you know, again, one love, y'all. Unify. Unify in these days and times, right,
come
y'all?
Together.
And she always sings this one,
right
too.
Right now. Over me.
I can't stop it. I can't. All right. We're going to blurt out everybody because we're going to have a jam session, apparently. Bye, everybody.
Stay
bye.
Black.
Yes. Blurt out. Bye. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Please subscribe to our show on whatever podcast listening app you use and share the show with other blurred and non-blurred family and friends. And if you like this episode, please subscribe to our email newsletter at blurredtalkbw.ck.page and also rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts.
Intro and outro music is Twilight by Caption. You can find them on SoundCloud, username Caption spelled C-A-P-S-H-U-N. Show notes by Bola Hansen, audio engineering by Whitney Booker.
And don't forget to get social, you guys. You can email us at blurredtalkbw@gmail.com. And our social media handles on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok is at blurredtalkbw. And our YouTube channel is youtube.com/@blurredtalkbw. And we've got our individual things going on too. You can find the Triple F Queen on Instagram at Triple F Queen B as in boy, and my YouTube channel is youtube.com/@TripleFQueenB.
And you can find me, Whitney, at Luminabi Studios, my company, and the email address is wit@luminabi.com, spelled W-H-I-T at L-U-M-E-N-A-V-I.com. And you can also find me on Twitter at Luminabi Studios.